tuned into Quick Charge, the high voltage podcast bringing you the top stories in electric vehicles and sustainable energy daily. And it's all powered by Electrek. Welcome to Quick Charge. It is February 26, 2026. I'm your host, Joe Boris. I often blow people away with this bit of trivia. All of my boys have the same birthday, obviously different years, but the same birthday. The fact that they're not twins or triplets always freaks people out, but it is nevertheless a true fact. But it is an extraordinary claim, and as we have learned, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. And if you haven't guessed yet by the theme image here of all the donuts, we are talking about Donut Labs and their miracle solid-state battery that they claim can go from 0 to 80% charge in under 5 minutes. They have recently proven this, but there's a big catch, as our own Fred Lambert writes. Donut Lab has released its first independent test results for its controversial solid-state battery, and the data confirms at least one headline claim: the cell charged from 0 to 80% in just 4.5 minutes at an extreme 11C rate. The VTT report tested a single 26 amp hour Donut Lab cell using a PEC ACT 0550 battery tester in a climate controlled chamber. The cell was charged at two rates, 5C and 11C, using a constant current, constant voltage protocol up to 4.3 volts. Before and after each charge, the cell was discharged at 1C down to 2.7 volts to verify full capacity was available. The charging speed results are legitimately impressive. At 11C, that's the ability to cycle 11 times in 1 hour, so that you get that 60 minutes divided by 11, that's that charging cycle, that's where you get that 4.5 minutes. With two heat sinks, the cell reached 80% state of charge in 4.5 minutes, with the surface temperature climbing from 26.5 degrees Celsius to a peak of 63. At 5C, with a single heat sink, the cell charged fully with temperatures rising from 27 to 61 degrees. At 5C with two heat sinks, the temperature was only 47C from a starting point of 23.4. But here's where it gets interesting. During the 11C test, with only a single heat sink, the configuration closest to minimal thermal management, the cell's surface temperature hit the 90 degrees Celsius safety cutoff, forcing VTT to interrupt the test. After a four-minute cooling period, the cell was strapped more tightly to the heat sink to improve thermal contact, and the test was restarted. That 90-degree incident matters. Donut Labs has marketed this battery as needing no active cooling. But at 11C charge rates, even passive thermal management with a single heat sink proved insufficient. In a real vehicle, consistent 11C charging will require some thermal engineering, not a deal breaker, but it's a gap between the marketing and the measured reality. I've got a couple of graphs here. Thread has a bunch more in the article itself. I will have those over in the show notes at electrek.co in their entirety, so you can check this out for yourself. But hey, you can see the math. You can see right after that 4 minute mark, it's hitting that 90 degrees Celsius. Now, it's important to talk about what this report does not cover. And this is where the catch comes in. The VTT report addresses one claim and one claim only: fast charging. The specifications that drew the harshest industry criticism remain completely untested by any independent party. That 400 watt hour per kilogram density, this is the claim that Volt's chairman called physically impossible for context factorial energy solid state batteries, validated by Stellantis, achieved 375 watt hours per kilogram, and FAW semi-solid state batteries claim over 500. But neither of those also claim 11C charging and 100,000 cycles simultaneously. The combination of all three is what experts say defies known battery chemistry. 100,000 cycle life for most solid-state developers target hundreds to low thousands of cycles at this stage. Factorial's validated cells showed over 600 cycles. Donut Lab's claim of 100,000 is orders of magnitude beyond anything demonstrated in the industry, and it is arguably their biggest claim. Extreme temperature performance, Donut Labs claims 99% capacity retention at negative 30 degrees Celsius and stable performance above 100 degrees, not tested. Cost parity with lithium ion, that's not something a lab can verify, but a claim that strains credibility given that no solid state battery has reached cost competitiveness at scale. If you want to get a better sense of what that means, consider that you do not have a solid state battery in your iPhone or Samsung or Google phone or whatever you're using to listen to this podcast. And trust me, those guys have a ton of money in engineers, and an extra 5 or 10 or 20% battery life is something they are definitely trying to achieve. How this compares to the competition, the broader solid state battery landscape provides useful context. BYD hit a solid state milestone and targets small batch productivity by 2027. Cattle has a similar timeline. Toyota is targeting mass production by 2030, and Geely plans its first solid state pack this year. None of these established players claim to have a production ready cell today with all of Donuts Lab's specifications. That's either because the finished startup has genuinely leapfrogged the entire industry, which is possible, or because its claims won't hold up under comprehensive testing and they're just looking for a bunch of investor money, which, you know, I tend to lean towards cynicism, but, you know, don't let Uncle Jojo make you feel bad about stuff. They have a cool name, Donuts. I like Donuts. I'm excited about it. Moving on from them, we are still going to talk about another extraordinary claim, and this one is full self-driving. And as we talk about full self-driving, fully autonomous vehicles, it's worth noting that Tesla Cybercab program manager has exited the building ahead of the vehicle's launch. Victor Nichita, who served as Tesla's vehicle program manager for the Cybercab, has announced he is leaving the company. The departure comes just days after the first Cybercab production unit rolled off the assembly line at Giga Texas, adding to an accelerating exodus of senior program managers at the automaker. It's important to note here that Nichita did his job. He brought the Cybercab from concept through development to the first production unit rolling off the line. There's still a long road of validation before continuous production begins, and Musk himself has said that early production will be agonizingly slow. That's a direct quote, but getting to that first unit is a real milestone. The problem is that the Cybercab is a vehicle that makes no sense without fully unsupervised autonomy, or at least really reliable autonomy that only requires human intervention in some cases. And Tesla doesn't seem to have solved for that in any meaningful way. When Tesla claimed to launch unsupervised robotaxi rides in January, they vanished within a week. And to this day, the program is limited to a small section of the robotaxi service area in Austin with the heavy use of teleoperation. Again, we're talking days after the first one of these rolled off the line. The vehicle, no steering wheel, no pedals. We covered all of that. But even the name Cybercab is not set in stone. What Fred was referring to there was a trademark claim from a company that makes seltzer water over the use of the word Cybercab. Tesla has escalated its fight over the Cybercab name, filing a 167-page, five-count formal opposition to the USPTO's trademark trial and appeals board against Unibev, a French beverage wholesaler that has been squatting on the trademark. Those are Fred's words. The filing obtained by Electrek accuses Unibev of fraud, bad faith, and trademark dilution just weeks before Tesla's plans to ramp Cybercab production at Gigafactory Texas. Fred points out here a pattern of squatting that looks bad for Unibev. This is not their first run at Tesla's brand. The company already holds trademarks for Tesla Tequila, the name Tesla once tried to use for its limited run branded tequila, which is horrible. As we reported in January, Unibev also filed for Cyberquad, another Tesla-associated name, and Cybertaxi. The timeline is pretty damning. Unibev first filed for the Cybercab mark in France in April 29th of 2024, months before Tesla's October reveal event. It then filed with the USPTO on October 28th, 2024, roughly 2 weeks after Tesla unveiled the vehicle, but before Tesla got its own application in during November of 24. Under international priority rules, Unibev's earlier French filing gives it a significant advantage. Tesla's remaining three counts build on the family of cyber marks the company already owns. Count three argues likelihood of confusion with Tesla's registered Cybertruck mark, noting the USPTO has already refused other cyber formative marks, cyber camper, cyber trailer, cyber van, as confusingly similar to Tesla's registrations. Count four claims dilution of Tesla's famous Cybertruck marks. Count five alleges Unibev mark falsely suggests a connection with Tesla. Now, I couldn't think of anything else that had come out about that time that was insanely popular that used cyber, except, of course, for this giant and massively popular video game, Cyberpunk 2077, that's been rolling out slowly since about 2022, with new unlimited versions coming out right about the time Unibev got involved. So, hey, maybe the software guys will sue Unibev as well. Very exciting stuff. Now, we usually end these things talking about sustainability, talking about the grid, talking about solar. We're going to do the same today. A new report indicates that solar panels could increase your home value by $39,000 to $79,000. That's according to Yahoo Finance. A new study of more than 5,000 home sales showed that homes with solar panels installed sold to 5-10% more than comparable homes without solar. Now, of course, everyone talks about how adding rooftop solar panels can help reduce your energy costs. But when it comes to understanding how solar affects the impact value of your home, most people are relying on anecdotal information or else quoting a Zillow study from 2019 showing that PV panels added about 4% to a home sales price. A lot has happened since then, and the world is a different place. With that in mind, the analysts at Solar Insure decided to see what the numbers look like today, technically 2025, and they found that homes with owned solar panels sold for 5-10% more than comparable homes without solar. Solar Insure's data set focused on single-family homes in major California cities. The data included 2,350 sales of homes with owned rooftop solar panels, 1,790 home sales with third-party solar leases or PPAs, and 860 sales of homes without solar. Quote, over our study of 5,000 homes, we showed that owned solar panels tend to sell for 5-10% more than comparable homes without solar, reflecting buyer demand for long-term energy savings and stability. That's according to Ara Agopian, a Solar Insure analyst with 2 decades in solar and risk management. But that caveat of owned solar panels makes a huge difference. Quote, third-party owned systems, leases, and PPAs do not consistently increase home value or resale value, as many buyers are wary of taking over contact. So that's really important stuff. Despite that, however, there is still a significant growth in solar energy. And according to the EIA, 62% more renewable energy capacity is coming in 2026 than the year before them. That was announced by the Sunday campaign of data just released by the U.S. Energy Information Administration. That's the EIA. Solar set new records in 2025, the EIA's latest monthly electric power monthly report with data through September 31st, 2025, once again confirms that solar is the fastest growing source of new U.S. energy. Utility scale solar thermal and photovoltaic generation expanded by 34.5% during 2025, while that from estimated small scale rooftop solar PV systems rose by 11% in 2025 compared to 2024. The combination of utility scale and small scale solar increased by 28% and produced a bit under 9% of total U.S. electrical generation last year, up from 6.9% a year earlier. Further, solar now accounts for over a third of U.S. electrical generation by renewable energy sources. That is great news. The sun is still shining, producing and giving energy to everyone on Earth, and we should get as much of it into the grid as we can. That's all we've got for today, February 26th. Be sure to like and subscribe so you catch tomorrow's. And yeah, I don't know, we'll have something maybe a little more food-based, but less donut-based.